Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
News this morning that the free contraception scheme could be extended to 16-year-olds. The Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, is looking to include the measure as part of this year's budget. However, the move is being met with some resistance within the Department of Health, according to reports, due to medical ethics, given that the age of consent in Ireland is 17. Well, in a moment, I'll speak to Simon Mills, senior counsel and qualified doctor and co-author of Medical Law in Ireland. But first, I want to speak to Dr. Ilona Duffy, who's a GP based in Monaghan. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire.
Are you currently seeing 16-year-olds in your own practice who are looking for the contraceptive pill?
I am, and I know that my GP colleagues throughout the country are seeing young women of this age attending, you know, and appropriately attending because they're concerned that they know they're sexually active and they want to ensure that they don't end up pregnant with an unwanted pregnancy. So, yes.
And at the age of 16, people in Ireland are medically independent. What does that mean?
Well, it means that they can consent to medical treatment and to procedures being undertaken on them so they can come to us without having to have a parent with them. And therefore, we would believe that given that, that it also means that they can consent to any medication and that includes the contraception.
So these reports this morning, Ilona, that there is resistance within the Department of Health for this free contraceptive initiative to be extended to girls at the age of 16 due to medical ethics. So this concerns the fact that the age of consent in Ireland is 17. What do you say to that, to those concerns and resistance?
Well, obviously, you know, there may be legal aspects to it and I suppose I'm not an expert in that, not going to be able to comment on that. But I do think we have to look at the holistic care of our young women. And if we're saying that it is OK for them to have medical treatment for all other conditions, then we have to include contraception in that. And we also have to remember that we use contraception for things other than, so we use the likes of the pill or the coil or the implant on the bar and the arm to help control heavy periods or painful periods. So it's used for other reasons other than contraception. And therefore, there won't be a barrier to using it for those reasons. So I think we should be able to encompass it to cover everything.
And do you welcome it being extended to 16-year-olds if that is in fact what happens?
I absolutely welcome it. I think we've got to be encouraging our young women to be able to talk about their sexual activity to ensure that they're safe in meaning that they're not going to have an unwanted pregnancy, but also that consultation with their GP allows just confirmation that this is an appropriate relationship. So it's a 16-year-old with an equally aged person and not perhaps with an older man, or that they're feeling coerced into having intercourse with somebody. And finally, it also allows us to discuss things such as safe sex, ensure that they're not putting themselves at risk of sexually transmitted diseases, and know how to screen themselves for that as well.
And in general, then, how is the free contraception scheme working?
So it is a wonderful scheme and it has been great to see it slowly rolled out. There's still bits that need to be improved in it, and that we know that while it is covering women up until the age of 44, and from the age of 36 to 44, it only covers those who have medical cards, so private patients aren't covered. And that's disappointing, because if we're kind of, you know, offering it free up to the age of 36, we really should be offering it free for everybody right up until the menopause, until we know women can't become pregnant. The other thing is we need to adapt to changes in the way we use in contraception. So considering the contraceptive pill, the combined pill, typically people would take it 3 weeks on, 1 week off. But we know that the new way of taking it and the way we're advising our younger women to take it is actually 63 days on, meaning three packets in a row with a shorter period off. But that means that in a 6 month period, they need more than the six packs. And at present, they'll only be provided for free with six packs by the pharmacy. So we have to allow changes and we have to adapt to changes and improvements in the contraceptive care and be willing to do that in a speedy process.
So if younger women want to take it in the way that their GP might advise, there will be a portion of time in that 63-day period where they have to pay for it themselves.
They will. So they'll probably need eight packs for 6 months as opposed to six packs, and they'll have to pay for the extra two packs. And again, it's a small thing, and we know the contraceptive pill isn't that dear, but we have to ensure there are no barriers to our young women and to all women accessing contraception.
All right, Ilona, stay with us, because as I said, I have Simon Mills with us as well, senior counsel and qualified doctor. Simon, thank you for taking our call. Now, typically, we know parents are involved in healthcare decisions for their children who are under the age of 16, and as Ilona Ilona explained to us there, an individual becomes medically independent at that age. But the age of consent in this country is 17. So if the Minister for Health were to make contraception available freely to 16-year-olds, is there a legal contradiction? Could one arise?
Well, probably the important starting point is to say we're talking about two different definitions of the age of consent. So there's the age of consent to medical treatment, and that's what you've been talking about as medical independence, and that's 16. And assuming that the pill is medical treatment, then a 16-year-old can consent to medical treatment. And then the other consent that we're talking about is consent to sexual relations, and there the age limit in the Republic of Ireland is 16, although in or 17 rather, and in Northern Ireland it's 16. And there is that difference. But as Ilona has already clearly set out, out in the real world, there is a body of 16-year-olds who are engaging in sexual relations in circumstances, although they may be on the face of the law unlawful. In fact, they're not, because there is a policy of not prosecuting certain relationships between 16-year-olds and other people where it is felt that that relationship is not, if you like, an unlawful relationship. So where there's a proximity in age between the two people in the relationship, where there's free and voluntary engagement in sexual relations, where neither party feels exploited or intimidated, and where neither party is in a position of authority, and where those conditions are in place, that relationship, even though it does involve a 16-year-old, won't be regarded as unlawful. And it would seem to me to be slightly counterintuitive then to say that such people would not be entitled to avail of contraception. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that Irish GPs are taking a pragmatic approach dealing with it.
According to this report in the Irish Independent, Simon, there is some resistance within the Department of Health due to medical ethics. So while
But what does that mean, Claire? I mean, saying that something is mandated or not mandated requires you, I think, to do at least two things. The first is to set out what medical ethical principle you're relying on to say that it should or shouldn't be allowed, and to set out your arguments about why you say that that medical ethical principle means what you say it means. And there are lots of areas of medical ethics where there can be a reasonable disagreement, as between doctors, about what an ethical course of action is. But simply waving around the two words medical ethics and saying that that should be an obstacle to allowing GPs to do their jobs is a fairly thin basis for making the case against these proposals. It may well be that there is a good basis for it, but you want to hear a lot more about it.
Yeah, I mean, there may be concern amongst those, or there might be those who are concerned about this in the Department of Health might foresee issues arising amongst those who are being asked to prescribe and who may be in some sort of fear of breaching the law around consent.
Yeah, I mean, there is much that could be done to clarify the law for 16 and 17-year-olds wishing to consent to or refuse medical treatment. And a number of those areas, including, I think, absolute clarity about the entitlement of the 16 and 17-year-old to medical confidentiality, dealing with issues about the rights of the 16 and 17-year-old to refuse treatment. So certainly if it was intended to... and also, I think, helping doctors to understand when they should or should not be concerned about the relationship, such as, for example, to start looking at the Children First policies and making referrals to TUSA and all of that kind of stuff. So if there is to be an expansion of the scheme, then it certainly should be accompanied by appropriate education and resourcing for general practitioners who are likely to be at the forefront of administering and assisting in this scheme.
Mm-hmm. Just to be clear, Ilona, medical independence at the age of 16, that means you don't have to inform the parents about what you're prescribing for a 16-year-old, do you?
You don't. I mean, typically we would ask, you know, that 16-year-old, have they kind of discussed it? Is their parent aware? Because, you know, often it helps if a parent is involved in all kinds of decision making, and also maybe perhaps preempt problems later on if a parent finds out that somebody's on treatment and they're not aware of it. But again, if the 16-year-old has competence and really knows what they're about, we're going to go ahead and treat them in with whatever we need to treat, not just contraception.
Do you think, Simon, there is a reason here for the government to look at lowering the age of consent?
That clearly falls into questions of public policy that it's not for a mere lawyer to comment on. It's probably worth observing two things. The first is that there are arguments for and against lowering the age of consent, and those arguments are reasonably well rehearsed. It's also worth noting that other countries with very similar social and demographic structures to us, including the country with which we share an island, have a lower age of consent. And you do have this slightly peculiar situation where if a person in Lifford, age 16, is engaged in a relationship with a person in Strabane, age 16, one of them is breaking the law and the other one isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is extraordinary. But there is the Romeo and Juliet defence, which I think you referred to in broad terms earlier.
Yeah, and that underpins why many 16-year-olds won't be prosecuted. But why is one of them in a position of doing something unlawful and the other one isn't?
All right. Well, we will hear more about this, I'm sure, after Cabinet meets this morning. Simon Mills and Dr. Ilona Duffy, thank you for joining us this morning. Coming up next, should Ireland ditch the nitrates directive to protect water quality? We'll debate.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.